Good evening again. I do hope you've had a restful afternoon and ready to rest in all the beauty that the Lord has provided, that we'll be amazed as the days that we're living in, as has been said, the world is trying to change the words of our lives to conform to their image instead of our lives conforming to the Word of God. Now, of all times, now is the time that we as His people unashamedly, unapologetically declare His truths for His glory, that the world may see, that they may know, and by His grace, they may repent and become the people of God. As the passage that was read in Colossians chapter 3, I've kind of trying to work better on giving titles. So the title for this, I said, a new life brings a new way of living. Considering the culture that it was given, and considering the culture that we're living in, some of these passages, just on face value, without looking at the depths of what they really mean, it's taken out of context. And the families, our families, are being bombarded by television news on how things should be instead of what the Scripture tells us how they should be. The families are the key unit in any society, and those pieces are being changed. They're given new names, and they're being distorted from what God has laid out. But trust on what the Lord has declared, what He has proclaimed, that we can trust Him, not something to come across the news or entertainment or whatever our society dishes out. But we can trust Him. So let our lives reflect our trust and confidence in Him by living and conforming into His likeness, so that all will see not us, but see Him. So let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Master, You are holy, You are just, You are perfect in all ways. Your words, Your actions are pure, and they honor the Father. As those that You have redeemed, let our actions, let our words join in giving honor to the Father, letting our lives be conformed more to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the world may see You instead of a sad substitution for reality. Let us honor You, that others who hear, by Your grace, may their eyes be open, and may they repent, lest they too also perish. Help us now, Lord. And thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our families are under attack in our culture. It's been a couple weeks, I think, watching the news, and they wouldn't say the mothers, but the birthing people. I'm like, that was odd. They don't want to say mothers or women because somehow that becomes offensive. I don't know why. But regardless of what they think, let's just stick with Scripture. We stick with the Word of God, that we may honor the Word of God, and we may honor the author of His Word. In this passage, some will take it and run to the far nth degree in the wrong direction about our families, about husbands and wives and children, and those, they say, well, it also speaks of slaves and masters. Well, we're not slaves and masters, but we are employed. We are employed, employees and employers. Pretty much the same category, so that still applies to us. In the passage that he speaks in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 18, wives, be subject to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Which is very reminiscent of what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. He just gets more specific. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Because it has been twisted. Says, okay, I'm a husband of someone, so you're a wife of someone, so you have to listen. No, that's not where we're going. That's not what the Scripture has to tell us. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. That's who you listen to. That's who you are confound to with, that you may bring honor and glory to God. One of the beauties of the marriage, we know it has been said that the husbands play the role of Christ. As we read elsewhere, where he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Husbands, we are commanded by God Almighty to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. Women, you are not a second-class citizen. You are not something less than anything. You are, there's equal flat ground at the foot of the cross, and we come before our Master and repenting of our sin and our rebellion and asking for His forgiveness. And He is taking us to shape us more into His image. As the husbands play the role of Christ in the family unit, as Christ loved the church and gave His life for her, husbands, we are to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. We will give our lives, I hope, for our wives. And the women that you have married, people have... It's not the first time people looked at me kind of funny. I've got that all my life. But when I... years ago, and I said something about my bride, and they said, "You're who?" I said, "My bride." Said, "That's your wife." I said, "That's my bride." Mentally, when you have the words coming in your ear, when it says, "Your bride," what picture do you have in your mind? Just don't have to comment. You have that picture in your mind. Now, compare that picture to what you have imagined in your mind. This is my wife. Is it the same? Exactly. No, it's really, but the bride is more precious. I learned as I was growing up, I thought it was very unique to hear my Uncle Ed can ask on the telephone for my Aunt Pauline, "Is my bride there?" I'm like, Aunt Pauline's here. It's like, I had a hard time. But seeing the relationship that Uncle Ed had with my Aunt Pauline was precious. And I said, now I'm seeing a husband and wife truly love one another. How they portrayed one another. How they honored one another. Instead of, as most fellows have heard, and ladies, you've heard, that the wife can be given the title, battle axe. Oh, the War Department's calling you. You better get it. Yeah. All kinds of things that really are not that edifying. Sadly, in our culture, this is, we understand what they're saying, but that's my bride. That's not just my wife. We haven't been married that long, just 33 years. So it's not too long. And that is my bride. She's still my bride. And I thank God that God has blessed me with someone like that. But when he talks about wives, be subject to your own husbands. This is not a declaration of inferiority. But even your role in my premarital counseling classes that I have done in the past reminded the husbands that they're to play the role as husband, the role of Christ, as far as to protect their brides, to be subject, to honor them. Even looking at the disciples, even when they were very human and sometimes frustrating, Jesus still loved them. Husbands, we are to love our wives that way. Wives, when he says, be subject to your husbands. Again, that's not declaring your inferiority, but just as Jesus Christ, you play the role of Jesus Christ. As Jesus is equal with God the Father, he willingly subordinated himself to the Father. Because Jesus is God, but yet he wanted to honor him in all things. So he willingly subordinated himself to the Father to do and to say all that the Father told him to say and to do. So ladies, when you hear that, people have run different angles where, going back to some early edition of me, caveman, you, woman, or however else you want to play into it. So you don't have a say, just whatever I say. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Not that he's any better. You are on equal ground, but you play the role of Christ in subordinating yourself to his leadership. To obey, to submit to the control, because he is responsible to answer before God for the family. That's his responsibility. Let him have it. Not let him have it. Let him have that control and subordinate yourself for the honor of God, that he will be pleased. Because he reminds us, again, I'm kind of playing those two verses together in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22, sorry, wrong verse. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, and he himself is the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. One of the things, when the Lord redeems us, he gives us a new life. And in the culture that we're living in, they're watching and seeing, what kind of life does it look like? What is it portraying? Is it enticing for those who don't know the Lord? I want to know more about your God. What difference is your God making in your life today? In this aspect of marriage, let God be honored in it. And this, starting with this passage, wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. That's just it, the way it should be. Jesus also over in the book of John, chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse 18. He says, For in this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner." He was submitting himself, Jesus submitting himself to the Father to bring honor to the Father, that the world may know the Father. And in marriage, we see that our roles as husbands, yes, we play the role of Christ. Not capital C, but we just like Sarah called Abraham Lord, but it's a lowercase L. Call him Lord. Bringing honor. Seeing how God has portrayed and how God has instituted this thing called a family. He continues on back in Colossians chapter 3. Now it says, verse 19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them." How many times have I talked, how many times, because you pastored longer than I have, Pastor, husbands have been embittered against their wives. They hold a bitterness against them for one reason or another. Instead of seeing them as their partner, as their co-equal, they're just angry. And some relationships are always seen to be butting heads. But the Lord is telling us, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. If you haven't noticed, men and women are not the same. Even though our culture is confused and try to twist it and they get them confused, we don't have to get it confused. Male is male, female is female, husbands are husbands, wives are wives. Both equal footing at the foot of the cross, but just different roles to perform. Wives playing the role of Christ as being subject, subordinating themselves willingly to the husband. Husbands loving their wives just as Christ loved the church and served the church. He died for her. The difference that Jesus makes. Because he says again back in Ephesians 5, when he's speaking to the family, in verses 18, or no, 25 through 27. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, such that she should be holy and blameless. It's difficult. One thing I miss, and we have discussed the times when we would have our devotions time together. Husbands, read scriptures with your wives. Go through the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Have your family devotions. When I clock in at 6 a.m., I usually give her a kiss on the cheek, and I'm going out the door a little after 5, and she's slowly waking up. So we don't usually have our time together first thing in the morning to read scriptures together. But the picture that he gives us, that washing with water and the Word, letting the Word of God transform both of you to be more reflective of the image of our God and our King. He also continues on in our verse. Says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, obey your parents. And I can say also, taking the role of Jesus in being submissive and in being obedient to his earthly parents, even though he was God, he was obedient to his parents. In Luke chapter 2, we have the picture of Christ He says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Remembering, Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus is the Creator. But Jesus subordinated himself even to be obedient to these earthly parents who were given him, who were given authority to watch over him and to raise him. So children, you play the role, the Jesus role, being obedient to your parents, because that is fitting in the Lord. Here's one. The next verse in verse 21. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart. Are you giving them room to breathe? Not just hovering over to where, no matter, being micromanaging, but don't embitter them. Giving them a reason to be upset. I was reading and they gave a list which says, if children live with criticism, they learn to condemn. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child learns, lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child learns fairness or lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns to find love in the world. What we say to our children, husbands and wives, are we being overly critical? What are they learning? Your children are watching you whether you realize it or not. My son, of course, he's this high now, but when he was about this high, he did something and I said, "All right, get in your room, I'll be there in a minute." And he knew what was going to happen next. Well, he was walking to the room and he just smacked the wall. And I went, ah. And it's like the Lord says, "Who did that look like?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, that looked just like me." They're learning. Maybe you didn't say it, but they're watching. Our actions, they're learning from that. What are they learning? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because that is well-pleasing. Bring honor and truth to the King of glory. Let the world see the difference that he is making in your lives. And fathers, definitely open the door not to just run them down. Children will learn the idea of God the Father by how their father is. What are they learning? Are they learning that God the Father loves them? Not saying don't discipline them, because God disciplines us. But there should be a balance. What are they learning from the Father in their family? May it be reflective of our Heavenly Father, that they may see God and desire Him. See, this whole idea is that he gives us a new life and we're not the same as what we used to be. But we all have been set free from the bondage that we've been in. And now we are able to engage and to worship the King. We once were his enemies. Now, a Christian family is to be so different than the rest of society. It should be a good, not run, say a billboard, but a billboard of what a Christian family looks like. A father portraying his role as the one who, the loving provider, protector. The wife as the loving, submissive spouse. The children being submissive to the parents, so that God will be honored and the world will see there's a difference in your family. What is it? It's called Jesus. Jesus is the one that's making the difference. But it continues on this passage that it's not only just the husbands and the wives and the children, but also for the business owners and the employees. Sometimes this is difficult. We're not saying, well, we're not slaves, but we are working for someone, somewhere, unless you get your own business. But the rest of us are working for someone. How is our actions with them portraying Christ? Sometimes you got a good boss. I've had good bosses. Sometimes you have a bad boss. It doesn't matter. What matters is Christ being honored in your life. That he's the one that's being portrayed. He speaks in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. And let those who have believers as their masters, not to be disrespectful to them, because they are brethren, but let them serve them all the more, because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these things. Sometimes it's a hard thing to do, to go to your boss and say, I need you to forgive me. Not because you've been stealing something, but because you've had a bad attitude. You've had a bad attitude at work, a bad attitude against them for one reason or another. And you ask their forgiveness. I had to do that with one of my bosses that I have now. I said, sir, I just need to ask you to forgive me. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've had a bad attitude against you, against a lot of things, but just a bad attitude, and I need your forgiveness. Sometimes a good piece of humble pie goes a long way. I say, God, have mercy. Please, let me portray you in the midst of this mess that I'm living in. Let my boss know that I want to honor God and the Lord Jesus Christ, so that those who are lost, those who don't know the Lord Jesus, won't blaspheme the name of our God because of my actions, because of your actions. Don't give an excuse for the lost world to act more like lost people. Let God be honored. But he continues on in chapter 4. It says, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. If you're the owner, the boss, remember, if you're a believer, you have a master over you. Let's work for the glory of our God, that the world may see the difference that he's making in our lives. That the Lord Jesus will be portrayed as holy and pure and worthy. That the lost world won't blaspheme his name any more than they do. I don't want to give an excuse. But let those that you work around and work with and work for, may they see God in us. As they see us individually and see us as families, they see how what makes each of us different is that we're trying to play the role of Jesus Christ. Husbands, playing the role of Christ, loving the church, loving your bride as Christ loved the church. Wives, being submissive, subordinating yourself willingly to the authority of the Father, of your husband. Wives, or children, being obedient to your parents as is fitting in the Lord. Let Christ be portrayed in each one of our lives, that the world around us will see that he's real. And may God be honored. And may you be encouraged. Let's pray. Master, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your holiness and your goodness. Especially in the role of husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Seeing how goofy the disciples had been time and time and time again. Jesus, we see continually loving them and washing their feet. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Help our wives love their husbands, that the children love their parents as is fitting in the Lord and well-pleasing. May you be honored. Will you help us, please, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.